This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The eve of the Big Ten tournament, the Gophers will take on Northwestern in a disappointing finish to all of this, at least as it has gone down so far. Blake Hoffarber joins us now. He's been a part of the Big Ten tournament, made that buzzer beater in his first year. What was that? I don't. That was against Indiana, and I don't remember, Blake. Was that a back and forth game? Did you guys rally at the end? I like most of us, I just remember the shot now.
Yeah, no, it was a awesome game. I mean, I think others remember it was basically we were up the entire game. We were up like, I want to say 16-17 at one point. And then the second half, they chipped away. And towards the end of the game, it was just back and forth, back and forth. And then missed free throws on the Indiana side. And they got that tip in and one. They were one of the top ranked teams in the country at the time. And, everyone knows kind of how, what happened at the end. It was just, a memory I'll live in my head forever. And I think our team's head forever.
Were you the option one on the play? I don't remember how that went. I just remember the final result and the shot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I wouldn't say I was option one. I would say, Tubby put me out there, I think, because he trusted as a shooter. And, obviously we practiced some of those plays in practice. But, I was one of the kind of wings that were crossing, and they wanted to throw a bomb pass from Travis Bush to Dan Coleman. Well, Dan Coleman couldn't get there in time, so I just came back and grabbed it and turned around and shot it. So it was pretty lucky that, everything fell into my hands, per se, and I was able to snag the ball and turn and shoot it all in one motion. But I was definitely one of the options. I wouldn't say I was kind of I was supposed to go up and catch it. Dan Coleman was supposed to catch it and then kick it out to, I think it was Lawrence Westbrook or myself on either wing.
Who did you play the next night?
I believe it's a good question. I should know this. I think we played Illinois and we got beat.
Because that was one of their many good Illinois teams, right?
Yep, I think it was Illinois or Ohio State. One year it was Ohio State, one was Illinois. I know when we lost, a couple of those towards the – one was semifinals, one was championship, I believe. But, unfortunately, we couldn't win that next team to solidify ourselves in the NCAA tournament that year, but it got us 20 wins, which is good.
Yeah, you were about a game away, weren't you? A win away from the NCAA.
Yep, we were. And that was when, Spencer Tollickson had gone down with the ankle injury, and I think Lawrence McKenzie that next game versus Maryland and NIT. I don't know if he played. I think he was going through some health issues too. So, yeah, it was one of those seasons that was a great turnaround. I think it's still one of the, or it was at the time, like kind of one of the greatest turnarounds in 1 year for Tubby's first year. I mean, I think the year before they won 8 games and then we won 20 the next year. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a disaster there. Dan Munson's last year and then you guys got her going and came up just short there in that tournament. But the Big Ten tournament, not this year, but that's why when you think about this, but it has a buzz, doesn't it? When you go there and the teams have their own hotels and the fan base is there. And, Minnesota doesn't travel incredibly well right now for basketball, but you can feel it, can't you? I mean, it's hard to describe if you haven't gone to these things, and certainly for you as a participant. But you walk into the lobby and people see you in your Gopher sweats or whatever team it is, and it's really, really a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a blast down there. And one of these years, I want to go just as a fan. I've never been there as a true fan, but I would love to go wherever it's going to be hosted as a true fan to experience it. And obviously, if you're going down there and cheering for your team, you don't want to go down there and have them lose their first game and kind of be, you know, sitting and not cheering for your home team. But it is still fun to kind of watch the rest of the tourney play out. And, you know, it's just a great tournament. People are all hyped, you know, especially when my 4 years, it was always in Indianapolis. It was, the first year that it started in Indianapolis was my freshman year. But that was just fantastic because everyone could kind of be downtown there. And, you know, streets were named after each college team. And, you know, people were in different hotels. There was just a buzz around, which was fun.
Yeah, and you know, this year, I thought about this the other night. There's a lot of things lost in all this. Of course, everybody that wants to could come back next year. But senior night is lost in all this for those that don't come back that were true seniors because there is no Williams Arena fanfare and all that stuff. What do you remember about senior night as you look out at that Williams Arena crowd being a Minnesota kid?
I mean, it was awesome. And unfortunately, you know, my senior year, I know I've talked about in the past. I mean, I think we were 11 in the country at one point, and then a lot of things went wrong with our season. So we just kind of, you know, did not have a great end of the season, kind of like the team this year. So it was a little bittersweet, but I remember on senior night, I mean, just, you know, always wanting to be a Gopher, getting there. It was comparable to the, you know, first game I played in Williams Arena as a freshman. It's just one of those memorable moments that, you know, you look out and see people that you've seen for your whole life or 4 years that are just been the diehard fans cheering you on. And obviously, you know, I got a lot of cheers, which was great. And, you know, I think they do that to everybody, but especially hometown kids because they feel like they know you. So, you know, it was bittersweet and it was pretty sad. I remember I had a senior night, you know, post, you know, speech to kind of the internal team and families. And I remember I choked up a little bit, but you just, people don't realize how much time and effort and work these, you know, D1 athletes or any collegiate athlete puts into their program, and to see it kind of dwindle away after your fourth year is pretty sad because you're just with these players and coaches literally 24/7.
I'm not so sure, Blake, that if you were to say what takes the most work to be a Division I player, that I would not say it's if you want to be a guard in basketball. If you want to earn a scholarship as a guard in basketball, I mean, the math tells you right off the top that you know, there's far more competition for guys that are, say, 6'3 and under. So if you eliminate that, and not, you're competing against this huge pool of people that want the same thing. And, I mean, I hate to even say this because it sounds somewhat counterintuitive to what we want our kids to be about, but it's almost like you can't spend enough time in the gym because you know, by the time you're 18, there's almost not enough time available to develop the skill set. It's that hard to become that good at that position, I think. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think especially if you're a guard, 6'3 and under, even 6'4 and under, it's just so tough because majority of the population, I mean, that's tall for most people, but for a basketball player in D1, that's pretty short. So you got just a lot of guys that are more so, you know, quote unquote, smaller around your size that, you know, have known they've been undersized their whole life. So they're just gym rats in there. So it is tough. And, you know, anyone that can go Division I, Division II, Division III, I mean, it's a huge accomplishment, especially nowadays with kids and programs and people playing so much, but it's, you're exactly right. It's kind of unfortunate. I mean, I did it a little later. And when I say later, I quit football, tennis, baseball, all in, you know, about seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was late at the time. Yeah. Well, now it's almost sad. If you don't, you know, focus on basketball or one sport by the time you're like fifth grade, it's like you're too far behind. You can't do it. And I know that's huge in hockey at, you know, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, because there's so much skill development that goes into it. And, it's another topic for another time, but it certainly merits conversation. The Gophers play Northwestern tomorrow. It's hard for me to. I understand Richard Pitino's point. He the injuries are decimating. At the same time, they lost to a terrible Northwestern team at home 2 weeks ago. You know, even when you're injured, you should be able to handle something like that. And I think Northwestern had 19 turnovers. What's it like being inside a Gopher program right now when things aren't going well, when you got some injured people, when your coach's status is being talked about? What's that like for a player?
That's tough. I mean, I had a little bit of it my senior year. It's just, it's just, especially with the media and everyone talking about it, and especially, you know, I hate to bring up myself, but this season is kind of like my senior year. I mean, granted, there was some
injuries. Feels a lot like it, doesn't it?
I mean, we were one of the top, 12, 13 teams in the country, beat North Carolina, West Virginia, all these good teams, and then all of a sudden a couple injuries, and, you know, we kind of just, skidded towards the end of the year, and that's what's happening here. And I know exactly what those guys are feeling. No one wants to lose, but, at some point, I didn't have the coaches. I know Patino's on the hot seat a little, and some people are saying he's going to be gone after, the last game here. But, it's sad, especially for these seniors, that they know, they had such a great season going, beating some of the top teams in the country, to now where, hey, if they don't win the Big Ten tournament, they're not making the tournament. And, you got some very good teams that you're going to have to beat out in a lot of games because they don't have a bye at all.
Do you, when you talk about the profile of a great college coach, is it X's and O's to a large extent, or is it because you spend so much time with that coach, it's about the personal relationship that he develops with, because it's a much smaller roster, of course, in basketball. Is there one that's more important than the other?
It's a great question. I would say a little bit of both. I would say most coaches, if they're getting to a D1 level, they know their X's and O's.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think the coaches that can, though, pivot, mid-game or come up with that last-second play when they only have 60 seconds to come up with the right play, those are the true coaches that, have that knack to just pick the right play or put the right player in, et cetera. But I think a huge part of any coach, but college and NBA, is psychology of the team, basically how to get each player to be committed to the team, do their role, do their part each and every possession, and believe in the coach and believe in their teammates. And I think, the best coaches are the ones where every player, they respect them, but they, are hard on them, right? So it's like, if you respect your coach, you're going to play harder for them. If you don't respect their coach and they just are yelling at you and cussing at you and don't really show you, that respectful, hard work or, the love, players start to go sideways. And I've seen it in many programs in the past. And then you guys, you got a guy like Izzo, right? Their players love him, but
yeah,
he's very, very tough on them. And
yep,
those are the best coaches. They can kind of create a family-like atmosphere.
Yeah, I always say Isaiah Dahlman was a good example. Mr. Basketball here in the state, you know him well. And he went to Michigan State and, of course, great program. And he didn't play. He didn't play hardly at all. And I remember running into him and thinking he'd probably transfer or something. He says, "No, I love playing for Coach Izzo." And I'm going, that really says something. If you can be Mr. Basketball, go to a place, not play, and I think he even ended up in a staff as a grad assistant, that tells you the coach has something going, doesn't it?
It does. And every once in a while someone, transfers from Izzo, and you're going to get those anywhere, but for the most part, Izzo keeps his players. People want to play for him. They know he's going to be tough, but they know he's going to be fair. Their teams are always good. I mean, even a guy like Phil Jackson, right? He's known just for being just a mastermind in running a team and creating a family-like atmosphere within the team. And, maybe he's great at X's and O's, but, I think many coaches are. It's just how can they do it in the right moment within the game and come up with someone quickly and get their players to buy into the system.
So knowing what you know now, Blake, let's say a kid's selecting a school and it could be Division I, II, or III, or it could be their next high school or their summer team. Most kids are fairly naive and they think, I'm a good player, so it'll just work out. Knowing what you know, all things being equal, if they're down to a point where they're selecting on the based on the basketball program, what would you look for in a coach that would, in making your decision, what would be the most important things to you if it came down to that basketball decision about the coach?
Yeah, if it were me and taking out academics and mm-hmm. kind of life after.
Yeah, assume you have lots of options that way that are good, yeah.
Assuming you're going to be, a top basketball player, NBA, blah, blah, blah. I would not pick the school in that case. I would pick the coach and the program and the system that would be best for you. And, you know, that's, you know, it's tough, but you gotta, every coach acts like they believe in you, right? When they're recruiting you and you're going to, you know, play 100% of the minutes and no one's better than you and come in and you can take the sophomore, junior, and senior guard spot because you're better than them. And then all of a sudden you get in there as a freshman and it's like, oh, that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta believe the coach, you gotta trust the coach, and you gotta look at their history of players similar to you and how they utilize them. And that's what I think the biggest thing is. I mean, sure, a coach can always come and go, and obviously you gotta look at that as well, right? Is the coach gonna be there next year or not? But, you know, I always think the coach and their system is a true, you know, thing that you should look at if you're really going there to play basketball, not necessarily the name on your jersey.
Yeah, and it's easy to do, and it's and like I said, at all levels, Division III, II, I, junior college, high schools for some, summer teams that they play on, it's easy to do that. Do you think that Minnesota right now is a great job, the Gopher job? Do you think it's middle of the pack, Big Ten? What do you think it is potential-wise?
I mean, I'm a homer, but I still think it's a great job. I mean, you got guys like, you know, Tubby had left Kentucky and, you know, things weren't going as great for him there, but he came. I mean, he was the first one to say this is a great job. You know, you got guys like, you know, I think when, you know, Tubby, you know, got let go, I think there was a lot of people interested in the job, and I think you're seeing that now. I mean, obviously nothing's been announced about Patino and who knows what's going to happen there, but you're reading articles left and right. And I know there's plenty of coaches that are super interested in this job. And, you know, I do think it's one of the many schools that ultimately it used to be the only D1 Minnesota program. And now with, you know, St. Thomas coming in, that's a little change, but it's still, I mean, it's the top program, right, for D1 basketball, in the state, right? You got North Dakota, South Dakota. They got multiple D1 programs. You know, the Gophers have always been the Gophers. You're right in the city. You're in the Big Ten. And we got a lot of good players that if they could just keep Minnesota guys going to the U or even 50% of them, we're going to have a very, very good program.
Well put, Blake. Appreciate it very much. A good time of the year for you, I know. And continue. Explain where you're working again if you need insurance for your business, right?
That's right. Yep. No, senior vice president and an insurance broker here in town called Marsh McLennan. So just, working with companies on their insurance and risk management programs. So that's keeping me busy. And then I got my my kid, we don't know the gender yet, coming in a couple of weeks here.
Awesome.
So my life's going to change with number two.
Awesome, man. More free throws will be shot down in the basement now.
That's right.
All right. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much. And congratulations.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.